Lynn High School regional volleyball finals last night. Class 1A and 2A play. In Class 1A, it was Stanton defeating Corning 3-0. Woodward Granger down in Coon Rapids Bayard 3-0. Also around the state in 1A regional finals, it was Tripola beating North Butler 3-0. Janesville top Marquette Catholic 3-2. East Union over North Mahaska. Boyden Hall beat Bishop Garrigan. Lamar's Galen over River Valley. And Holy Trinity topping HLV. All four of those matches go 3-0. In Class 2A regional finals last night, Kemper Catholic advances to the state meet with a 3-game sweep over Gilbert. St. Albert also moves on, but it was much tougher as they beat Pella Christian 3-2, winning 15-13 in the fifth and deciding game. Also, Lake Mills, a 3-1 winner over Sumner Fredericksburg. Sheldon beat Sioux Center 3-1. Also, it was Western Christian beating Maple Valley. Dyke New Hartford over Beckman Catholic. West Liberty topping Davis County. And Grundy Center beating Mount Vernon. Those were all 3-game sweeps last night. State tournament pairings now for the small schools have been set. First round action on Thursday, November the 10th in 1A has Woodward Granger facing Tripola and East Union playing Galen Catholic, Stanton facing Boyden Hall and Janesville battling Holy Trinity Catholic. In Class 2A first round action on November 10th, it'll be Sheldon versus Grundy Center, St. Albert playing Lake Mills, Kemper Catholic battling Western Christian, and West Liberty facing Dyke New Hartford. Those matches all at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. A 3A and 4A teams trying to qualify for state tonight in regional final play in Class 3A this evening. It'll be Bishop Heelan Catholic facing Spirit Lake, that match in Storm Lake tonight. In Atlantic tonight, Harlan will battle Red Oak. At Brooklyn, Bondurant Farrar plays Union. At Clear Lake, it's Charles City versus Nevada. At Olwine, West Delaware plays Waverly Shellrock. At Epworth tonight, Dubuque Wallert faces Marion. At Washington this evening, Fairfield will play Solon. And at DeWitt, Davenport Assumption battles Maquoketa. In Class 4A regional finals tonight at Fort Dodge, Sioux City North will play Ankeny. At Adel tonight, it's Urbandale facing Abraham Lincoln. At West Des Moines Valley High, it's Southeast Polk battling Waukee. At Marshalltown tonight, Dowling Catholic plays Cedar Falls. At Cedar Rapids Jefferson High School, Cedar Rapids Washington will play Iowa City West. At Clarence tonight, Bettendorf plays Cedar Rapids Kennedy. At Tipton, it's Pleasant Valley versus Dubuque Hempstead. And at Wilton tonight, Muscatine will play Iowa City High. Those matches all getting underway at 7 o'clock. Those winners all advancing to the state volleyball championships. Well, Iowa was let down by its offense, defense, and special teams against Minnesota last week, and they wound up with one of the worst losses of Kirk Ferentz's 13-year tenure as coach. Iowa hosts Michigan Saturday, hoping to bounce back from a stunning 22-21 loss to the Gophers. Ferentz says it was his fault the Gophers recovered an onside kick that led to the winning touchdown because he failed to call timeout just before the kick. Ferentz also says the Hawkeyes aren't playing defense well enough. Iowa needs just one win in their last 4 games to earn bowl eligibility. They are, however, still in the hunt for the Legends Division title. Michigan comes in 7-1 overall, 3-1 in the Big Ten Conference, tied for first place in the division. The Hawkeyes are a game back in the division standings at 2-2. They're 5-3 overall. Game time 11:05 on Saturday. They'll kick things off at 9 a.m. Actually, we'll kick off our pregame coverage at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning here on KJAN. A person familiar with the decision tells the Associated Press that the Big East will invite Boise State, Navy, and Air Force for football only, and SMU, Houston, and Central Florida for all sports. Commissioner John Marinato declined to give specifics of the conference plan after meeting with the league's presidents at a Philadelphia hotel. He did say that he expects the schools to accept. Marinato acknowledges that the league is moving west, and he reiterates that Syracuse, Pittsburgh, and West Virginia will not be allowed to leave for their new conferences until July of 2014. A Democrat congressman is comparing the NCAA to the mafia over how it controls the lives of student athletes. Bobby Rush of Illinois made the accusations at a congressional forum called to look at the impact of backroom deals, payoffs, and scandals in college sports. Rush spoke after hearing from a couple of mothers of student athletes who complained of ill treatment by schools after their sons suffered injuries. He told the gathering, "I think you could compare the NCAA to Al Capone and to the mafia." In response, then, NCAA spokesman said Congressman Rush obviously doesn't know the NCAA. Well, it's a huge week for the football programs in Baton Rouge and Tuscaloosa, and for college football in general. LSU and Alabama continue preparing for Saturday night's number one versus number two showdown on the Crimson Tide's home field. Both teams were off last week, and both entered this week's head-to-head matchup, having beaten their first 8 opponents by double-digit margins. There hasn't been a regular season number one and number two meeting since Ohio State and Michigan's 2006 finale. In other college football news, Southeastern Conference Commissioner Mike Slive has suspended Arkansas freshman Markel Wade for one game for his hit on a Vanderbilt punt returner. Wade will sit out Saturday's game with number 10 South Carolina in Fayetteville. Georgia running back Isaiah Crowell and two backup running backs have been suspended for the 18th-ranked Bulldogs' home game against New Mexico State on Saturday for unspecified violations of team rules. Last night on the field, Chandler Harnish threw a 4-yard strike to Perez Ashford with 19 seconds left for his 6th touchdown pass of the game, lifting Northern Illinois to a wild 63-60 victory over Toledo. The 123 combined points is the most ever in a regulation game in Mid-American Conference history. Tommy Lee Lewis returned 2 kickoffs for touchdowns in the first quarter for the Huskies, who have now won 4 straight in 5 of their last 6. In NFL news, Detroit Lions defensive tackle Ndamukong Suh has met with NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Suh requested the bye week session in New York at NFL headquarters to talk about the flags and the fines that he's gotten for roughing up the league's quarterbacks. In other news around the NFL, New England Patriots receiver Julian Edelman has been released on personal recognizance after a brief court appearance. Police say the 25-year-old football player was arrested about 1:30 a.m. outside a Boston nightclub by officers responding to a report of an assault on a woman. A criminal complaint application accuses Edelman of groping a woman at the club. He's pleaded not guilty to a charge of indecent assault and battery on a woman. The Oakland Raiders have signed wide receiver T.J. Houshmandzadeh, who played with quarterback Carson Palmer in Cincinnati for 6 seasons. Houshmandzadeh had been out of the league since playing with Baltimore last season, but had been working out in Southern California with Palmer before the Raiders acquired the quarterback last month. The Galveston County Medical Examiner's Office has ruled the death of a man at the home of Texans defensive end Antonio Smith as an accidental drowning. The body of 37-year-old Engram Lamar Crenshaw was discovered in the pool behind Smith's home following a party on September 3rd. Crenshaw was a friend of Smith's and not affiliated with the team. In baseball news, the Los Angeles Dodgers and Major League Baseball have agreed on a process to sell the team. In a joint statement released late Tuesday, both sides say they have agreed to a court-supervised process to sell the team. The agreement also includes the sale of team media rights to realize maximum value for the Dodgers and their owner, Frank McCourt. The statement says the Blackstone Group LP will manage the sale process. Clayton Kershaw, Matt Kemp, and Andre Ethier became the first trio of Los Angeles Dodgers to win National League Gold Gloves in the same year, and Adrian Gonzalez, Dustin Pedroia, and Jacoby Ellsbury became the first 3 Red Sox in 31 seasons to win the AL honor together. The other National League winners were catcher Yadier Molina, the World Series champion St. Louis Cardinals, Cincinnati first baseman Joey Votto, and second baseman Brandon Phillips, Colorado shortstop Troy Tulowitzki, Philadelphia third baseman Placido Polanco, and Arizona left fielder Gerardo Parra. Kershaw became a first-time winner at pitcher when the awards were announced last night. Ethier earned his first gold glove in the outfield, and Kemp regained the National League award that he also earned in 2009. Gonzalez earned his first AL gold glove to go along with the 2 that he won in the National League while with San Diego. Pedroia won at second base for the first time since 2008, and Ellsbury picked up his first gold glove. The other American League winners were White Sox pitcher Mark Burley, Baltimore catcher Matt Wieters, LA Angels shortstop Eric Ibar, Texas third baseman Adrian Beltre, KC left fielder Alex Gordon, and Baltimore right fielder Nick Markakis. Rawlings announced the winners on Tuesday. Managers and coaches vote for players in their leagues, and they can't pick players on their own teams. Elsewhere around baseball, the New York Yankees general manager Brian Cashman has re-signed with the club for 3 years. It comes a day after his previous deal expired. Cashman's teams have made the playoffs in 13 of his 14 seasons on the job, winning 11 American League East titles. Detroit Tigers GM Dave Dombrowski says it is highly unlikely that free agents Maglio Ordonez and Carlos Guillen will be back next season. Dombrowski doubts he'll re-sign pitcher Brad Penny. He's open to bringing back free agent third baseman Wilson Betemit later in the offseason, and he says pitcher Joel Zumaya can return as a non-roster invitee. In the National Hockey League last night, it was Boston over Ottawa 5-3. Carolina beat Tampa Bay 4-2. Washington in overtime 5-4 winner over Anaheim. Minnesota also skated to a 2-1 overtime victory over Detroit, while Vancouver posts a 5-1 win over Calgary. No KD versus Kobe, no championship banner in Dallas, no games at all. Tuesday was the original start date to the NBA season. Negotiations to end the lockout have stalled, and a person familiar with the situation tells the Associated Press that no further talks had been scheduled yet. Players and owners made progress on a number of issues related to the salary cap system over 2 days last week, but the negotiations fell apart again on the third day when the sides revisited the revenue sharing split. Three games were originally scheduled for last night on the opening night of the season, and now that schedule has been canceled through November 30th, and there might be more cancellations after that. The hope of an 82-game regular season has apparently vanished. And NBA labor issues will keep Michael Jordan from going to Australia to be an assistant captain for the U.S. team at the President's Cup. John Cook will go instead. Fred Couples brought Jordan along to the last President's Cup in San Francisco and signed him up again for the November 17th through 20th matches at Royal Melbourne. The Chicago Bulls great was to be an assistant captain with Jay Haas. Jordan is the majority owner of the Charlotte Bobcats. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.